That's the theme of the day. This is Art House Radio episode number 30, celebrating episode 30. And, you know, that's the way I like to start the show, with an American hero. If that doesn't get your toe tapping, nothing will. I'm not doing any copyright infringement. I'm just passing through a room where it happens to be playing, and I thought, why not make that the theme song? Downbound Train, Bruce Springsteen. Speaking of Downbound Trains, we're here with Santos Ramos, and he's making salsa. What kind of salsa?
Making tomatillo salsa. Just got back from Don Pancho's Market in the south side of Lansing. Bought some tomatillos, limon, cilantro, serrano peppers, a couple secret ingredients that I won't reveal to you.
Can't give those away. You're gonna have to pay for that. The secrets aren't free. We're boiling up some tomatillos right now, and we covered this in a previous take. but my whole life I thought I was making salsa. I wasn't. I was making pico de gallo, and I still probably don't make it right because I put jalapenos in there. I'm just like making up stuff as I go along when I make salsa, but this seems like an actual ingredient passed down from an actual Mexican.
Well, it's weird to think about why you do certain things, and then you ask that question of whoever's teaching you how to make it, and a lot of times the answer is just because that's how it's done.
Yeah, who knows? We could be eating, we could be making tomatillo salsa. Tomatillo salsa? Is tomatilla just implied if we say, I've got some tomatilla?
No, because
is it tomatilla or tomatillo?
Tomatilla. But because that's just the actual plant, or like, I don't know if it's a fruit or a vegetable. Probably it's like a tomato, so like, it'd probably be called a vegetable, but then somebody's like, well, actually, technically it's a fruit because it has seeds in it.
That's what I said yesterday to somebody about pumpkins.
It's a plant,
yeah. That's good. You can get out of it like it's vegetable, fruit. It's a plant.
Yeah.
All right? Get off my back. It grows and tea.
I've actually interviewed.
I've got a bunch of tea in there.
Research cooking, and one of the things I like about it is all the sounds. When you record just interviews with people cooking, all the sounds that are going on in the background. So I don't know, maybe you just heard the teapot go off.
We did. Yeah.
Been cutting up some cilantro, got the tomatillos boiling. Now we're looking for some tea.
Got some black tea, got some sweet cinnamon spice herbal tea, lemon ginger. Got a whole tea shop going on here. Lemon ginger is pretty good. This is the only one with caffeine, so I drink the shit out of tea now. Do Mexicans drink tea?
I don't know if that's a thing.
Coffee is definitely more common in my experience.
Yeah, I think coffee's definitely more common. I picked up the tea thing, I think, living in England. I felt like everybody thought of it as a ritual there, so they would, because they were like, oh, you want some tea? And I'd go, no, I don't drink tea. And they'd be like, you Americans and your attitude towards tea. Look, it's not about the tea. This isn't Boston. Just relax. It's about the ritual of sitting down with something warm in your hands. You know, you think, you maybe have tea with someone else. You just talk a little bit, and it's relaxing. It's sort of therapeutic. So maybe that's the same thing for south of the border, that coffee functions as that gathering
sure
point.
There's people who drink tea too, but
you never see it like in a Mexican market or anything.
Yeah, you don't really see in the markets here, at least in Michigan, you don't really see coffee that, a little bit of coffee, but those kind of drinks just aren't as central as they are to like all the hipster coffee shops that are around and stuff like that.
There must be some sort of non-coffee related hot drink that Mexicans would make, like Mexican hot cocoa, or what is the spice element in Mexican hot cocoa? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
I can't remember what it is either. It's easily Googleable if we wanted to.
Googleable.
Yeah. But I love going to the markets because you get all these vegetables. You don't know where they're coming from, really. We were talking about that earlier. Could be organic, could be full of pesticides, could be somewhere in between, but I have a feeling that's just somebody on a farm. They grow it or they borrow it from somebody that they know. Like, I would imagine it's all connected Mexican-wise, like Mexican immigrants that are growing it and buying it.
That's why it'd be interesting to go see. What if we went and asked them, and they're like, no, we just buy it at Walmart.
It's possible, but I mean, if they're doing that, then they would lose money in that transaction, so they'd want to grow. But how are they getting all these vegetables to suffice, you know, to sort of meet the demand?
That's what I'm saying. It's probably not that they might use the same suppliers like Kroger or something like that. Who knows?
It's got to be local. I mean, an independent market, like a, what do they call those, placitas? I don't know, whatever you call it. They can't afford to ship stuff from Chile. Like, they can't get limes from Chile or...
Oh, no. Well, I don't know.
Well, they got to get avocados from somewhere. I've
been in a restaurant before, and, I mean, you just use suppliers like... I'm assuming that you'd also find in grocery stores.
Yep. Well, that's true. Maybe so, they just use suppliers then.
So, the impetus for this is we were talking about how poor we were and how we're going to afford to eat.
We're on a downbound train, so financially.
We were talking about beans and rice and how you can, if you can cook good beans, rice, and salsa, then... That goes a long way for not very much money. And we've also been talking about growing food. So we're here collecting compost too.
That's true, yes. Yeah, beans and rice and avocado, I mean, you can go a long way with just being able to cook that. But I still struggle with like what to put on it. You know, you just put salt. I guess that's good enough.
On what?
Just beans and rice.
Well, you put that kind of stuff in usually when you're cooking it. So then the salsa would kind of be like the... seasoning then.
Yeah, like good. Tomatilla?
Yeah. So that's why I make this salsa in like big quantities. And I can put it on almost anything and it just makes it a lot better. So you just make some eggs, eat it with beans and rice, whatever, you can put it on most things.
It's really strange that a lot of this stuff should be so obvious that you grow your own vegetables, you go to a market and you pick up a basic supply of vegetables. And it feels so revolutionary sometimes.
Because we're so disconnected from it. And it's not something that a lot of people are, well, depending on your experience. I wasn't taught these kinds of things growing up. I was filling my head with sports knowledge and learning about palabras or whatever in math class. Shit that I have never used.
Studying parallelograms.
Parallelograms.
That whole thing went out pretty well. I'm glad that happened so that we could learn how to make food.
Yeah, but I think about that sometimes. I think about all of the sports knowledge that I have about what this player in this sport did in the year 1997 and how amazing it was and how I could replace that with all this knowledge about food. Like, I wish I would have been... Not, like, I still enjoy sports, but, like, a little bit of an overload. So, like, I would have liked to have learned some of these other things. Yeah. Instead of just being told that sports were everything.
It would have been really interesting growing up in a family where we did play sports. We're just physically active, so it made some sense for sure. But, like, it's interesting that if somebody had said to us in seventh grade, like, our parents had said, like, you're not playing sports for 2 years, we're sending you to Boy Scout camp every summer, and you're going to learn how to survive in the woods. At the time, I would have been like, I'm not doing that. Why are you torturing me? I want to play baseball. I want to like hang out with my friends and flag down the ice cream man. You know, like, but that would have been such a valuable thing.
But brought up in the right context, then those things would have seemed like cool things to do too, maybe. Like, if you're taught, like, this is valuable information and, you know, going out and digging in the dirt is fun too. Like, sometimes you're just doing that anyway as a kid, so like, I don't know, you may have valued it more than you think.
But you get so disconnected from the food, like you said, like the way that we grew up, you would almost think that we would go to Totino's where their farms are and they'd have like pizza roll plants planted all over the back of their business. And it's just, you get so disconnected, you don't think about it. So we've both sort of gotten into the idea of growing our own food, at least a percentage of it. You can't grow all of it, obviously, but if you can replace like 5% of your food supply.
If you know some of the main things that you use, like I know that I mean, I'm always going to be using lots of tomatoes and onions and cilantro. So if I can start to grow more of those things, I've been growing them a little bit the last few years, but the goal is to at least be, you know, able to grow enough of those things to use in my cooking for a good portion of the year then.
How many tomato plants do you have and how many tomatoes do you think you yielded last year?
Last year was not a good year. I think we maybe only had like 4 plants, and we didn't have a good, we didn't yield that many either. I mean, maybe like 50, 60, something like that.
That's pretty good. That seems good. 50 tomatoes?
At the most.
So 20. Yeah, 20 tomatoes.
Five. Well, here's one.
How many tomatoes did you actually have, and how does this relate to the arts? I think that's good. If you did 40 or 50 tomatoes, that's out of 4 plants, that's a dozen a piece.
Around that, over the whole summer. Something like that.
If our like ancestors were listening to this, they'd probably be like, they don't even know the answers to these basic questions, like how many tomatoes are on a plant. Like, I don't even know if it's, do they all pop out at once and then you pick them and then they grow back? Or is it, how does it, did it work? Like with each plant, where did it just supply a certain amount of tomatoes, you grabbed them and then that was it?
No, I think they grow, they're supposed to grow back.
Such really stupid. Farm. I would be a terrible farmer. Like, I have no idea. Like, I don't even know where.
So you put seeds into the ground and then food comes out? Like, immediately?
How does that work?
It's kind of like a drive-thru.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So we're about to make the tomatillo salsa.
Or maybe it's tomatillo.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Yeah, that's why I asked. I just want to get my nouns correct in the gender sense. I wonder if, we'll see. I don't know if this blender is going to blend all these tomatillas, so I'll probably step out for a minute while you grind that down for an hour, because it's probably...
You got salt before you go?
Oh, yeah, definitely salt. You don't. That's, if you turn into this cooking show, if you learn one thing, it's use salt. It's a good thing. All right, so while Santos is blending that, we'll come back and taste the results of his tomatilla or tomatillo. Oh, tomatillo. It's, we're in big trouble. Grandma Ramos isn't gonna like that. Tomatillo. Thank you. thank you for listening. That was from Sonic Sketches, which was an LP that I released in May of 2015. It premiered at an art show called Between the Lines here in Michigan, in Battle Creek, Michigan, to be exact, downtown. It was a great show. Fantastic experience. And you can buy it online. You can go to troymeetsworld.com, click on Buy My Works, and you'll find all the links there. Sonic Sketches, it's a piece for piano and electronics. It's the last thing that I put out. I've got some more things in the works. Composing, sometimes I get so high on it. It's what I studied, and, you know, I've delved way deep into the composer's lair, the rabbit hole, if you will. And lately, it seems like the last several months, maybe since that release, actually, I've sort of been just floating, living life, thinking about things. But I'll be back with another one. I've got a few things in the works. So if you feel like supporting a composer today, go there. And I think it's maybe $9, $10. And it's the whole thing is about 60 minutes long or something like that. I've got two other things on there as well, which you'll find, which some of them are $6. And really, it's not that much to ask, is it? I mean, people, if you go to an art show, people are asking for several hundred dollars for works usually. And this is, you know, the price of an expensive Starbucks coffee drink. So it's not that much, right? And you'd be supporting somebody, if you like it, who you think creates interesting sounds or could create interesting sounds, or you're just supporting the arts in general. Whatever it is that makes you decide you want to click on purchase, then by all means, tap into that part of yourself. Come on. What are you waiting for? This episode was brought to you by people and institutions and things who go to our website, arthouse43.com. They click on donate, and then they choose to make a one-time donation or a recurring donation to set it up. It's very easy. You can just go on there and click on it. Why not? Just give to the arts. This is don't give to PBS. Give to this. Okay? Well, okay, give some to PBS. You know what? No. Give to Arthouse Radio. That's what you need to do. PBS says needs your support too, but you got to spread it around a little bit. PBS is still like a national thing, and I'm not saying I don't like it, but you got to support local things. If you're in Lansing, or if you're in Michigan, or if you're in the United States or North America, or however local you want this sort of border to be, just click on donate, and you know, make a little person in Lansing, Michigan, happy and healthy and able to, continue the show. That's really what it's about. It doesn't matter what I'm trying to do here. I am trying to figure things out with the podcast. I love, you know, grinding one out. That sounded really dirty. Grinding. Wow. Where did that come from? No, I really love pumping out the, oh, here we go again. Grinding and pumping. How should I say this? I really like working hard and spilling this all over your ears. Whoa, come on. It's a family show. Is it? So your support is greatly appreciated. Obviously, creative projects are never free, so any support you could give would be greatly appreciated. I am still your host, Troy Ramos, coming at you every week, maybe twice a week here. I've kind of got a lot of episodes to put up, and we'll see what happens. I may have another one tomorrow. If you're listening to this the day that it's uploaded, I may have 2 days in a row with a podcast. We'll see. And I think you're going to really like the next one, so you're going to want to tune in for that. Don't forget to go to iTunes if you can and rate this. You know, 5 stars would be great. I think it's that's the maximum possibility for goodness. So you know, just click on 5 stars and then maybe write a review. Just, you know, I like this. Simple as that. I like it. Doesn't have to be a huge book. I'm not asking for any sort of a New York Times review. just something to get this thing going. Get me on that front page for once in my life. That's all I want. If this were a make-a-wish thing, and I hope that it doesn't become that, because that would mean I would be dying or something like that, terrible like that. But that would be my non-threatening make-a-wish. You just go there and write a review. I mean, just please do it. If you're listening to this, New Zealand or the UK or Australia, Canada, hi Canada, we're so close. You really should come on down to Lansing and check out Art House Radio in operation. Actually, you can't do that because it's being done in my house, and that would be creepy if you were on my porch looking in. So I would invite you in for tea, Canada, but maybe if you show up, maybe that might happen. Actually, don't show up. That'll creep me out. But I do care about my North American comrades, and I care about everybody else. So if you could just give us some support, you know, write a review, make a donation, at least tweet at me, at Spanish Peanuts. That's me. That's Troy Ramos. That's the brains behind this, you know, just terrible operation. This operation that's doing nothing for humanity. The project that is the most unnoticed project since New Coke. I don't know. New Coke was actually noticed pretty well. People hated it. Hate, though, is kind of a good thing sometimes because it shows some sort of emotion. Indifference is what causes fear in Art House Radio and myself. Don't be indifferent towards us. If you're listening to this, you heard the whole thing. You're listening to the end of it. So please go out there and you know, tickle the keys and get some stuff going. Share it with your friends. It's not that bad. There are worse podcasts out there. I promise you. I've heard some of them. They're terrible. If this podcast is better than just one other podcast that's ever been created in the history of podcasting, then it's justified for me to release this. All right? I wish you a great day, a great week. Remember that you're beautiful just the way you are. You know, you try to look at yourself and grow, of course, and you want to understand yourself and move into a space that makes you feel good and happy and relaxed and at peace. And if you don't have that, then maybe you strive to find at least a pathway towards that. But that doesn't mean you aren't beautiful now. Just maybe it means that you're trying to find that. And if you found that and you're happy, then just keep doing it, baby. Just keep doing it. All right. Until next time, friends.